At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Derek Pearson, brought to you by Canopy Street Market.
Wednesday. Boom. All right, you got me on that one? I can't hear you.
Yeah, you're on.
Okay. The Starter Heyman text line. 402-464-5685. Want to be a part of what we're doing, then you can. Hit us up. Well, good afternoon. Good morning. Good day, sir. All those things. All appropriate. We will respond and include you in what we're discussing and having conversation. Got a full one for you. Anthony Leinhardt-Smith will join us. We will also have Jamie Gordon from the American Volleyball Coaches Association, who's, of course, they kick off the volleyball weekend. You know, it's going to be a busy one down in the Haymarket. PBA, of course, you got 3 days of matches, and then open volleyball courts, etc. Down at the Haymarket. Should be a fun one. You can follow on all the live video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, Allo Channel 961, if you have not. And there's a thing that happened a couple of times since I got back from Chicago that I need to share with folks, just as a kind of a reminder. But also Saturday we will be at Wordstock, Antelope Park. We're going to be down from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Some special guests will roll through. Of course, I expect that Peter Ferguson will be down there, him and his crew. But we also know that from 10 to noon, it'll be one-on-one. From noon to 2, it'll be Dr. Chatters and his guests. And we've got special readers. We have folks who are going to read to to the young folks who are going to be at Wordstock. And we were informed yesterday and confirmed yesterday that the three readers that we are aware of, it'll be at 10:30. It'll be Kayla Starr from Nebraska Bowling at 12:30. It will be national champion Ridge Lovett. And at 12:45, it'll be Husker gymnast great Emma Spence. So it's going to be quite the load if you're going to be around. And again, it's a great book share, great opportunity as well. Plenty to occupy yourselves. And for all of you with young folks in your family and readers, the value of putting books in their hands is of importance. And we'll share some of that in the final segment here today, but inviting you down there Saturday to do that. Jake Bakoven, kind sir, if you would please, set the tone and the temperature for the room. Let's prepare.
Snaps Mutapchic's head back with that right hand. Oh! Drops him with the elbow! Oh, Mutapchic in trouble. Anthony Leinhardt-Smith with a huge win tonight.
His name is Anthony Smith. They call him Leinhardt. Kind sir, what it do?
What's going on, dude? Long time no see, my friend. I feel like it's been like 3 days.
Yeah, 3 whole days. Chicago was exceptional. Got to spend some time again with your amazing family, watching you sweat in the TV box.
We gotta talk about that.
Yeah, that's top of the list, bro. That looked uncomfortable at a level that I wanted no part of.
Oh, dude, I don't know what is happening with. I don't know if it's me. I don't know what's going on. I have been on fire these last couple shows that I've worked. I've just been so hot. You know what I did? I went on Amazon and I bought a couple of these little private fans, these little personal fans you hang around your neck.
Yeah.
I used to make fun of DC and Chael all the time because they got assistants and their assistants travel with nothing but like a laptop and about 5 rechargeable fans. And I would say, oh, look at these old guys.
Right.
And their fans and their unregulated body heat. And here I am sweating through a $2,000 suit.
Like it was there. Like I walked by and bought. So they had him up. It's funny thing. So I text him to let him know that I'm in the building. And he sends me a screenshot. He takes a picture.
A zoom in picture
from wherever they're broadcasting from. So then afterwards, I'm trying to figure out.
Okay, well, and the picture's of him. Like I find where he's sitting and I zoom in as close as I can get,
you know, and I'm trying to figure out afterwards. Okay. So where did he have to be to take this picture? Cause this is where they're broadcasting from. And we take the elevator up to it. And I mean, the doors open, Bach, and it felt like a sauna.
It was so hot.
It felt like a sauna. And I said, okay, he is struggling. Like, this is a tough time.
The boy was hot.
You know, plus you light skin, so it showed up. It showed up, bro. It was like, okay, he was there. Let's go through, because there are a couple of things from UFC 319 that are of importance. And I find it interesting that there are pockets. Bach and I always talk about in sports, there's 3 pockets to every vantage and opinion, that those that believe a thing, the opposite thing, and then folks who land in the middle and go, okay, we'll go to where the facts tell us. The thirds for this thing was, in watching Chimaev handle his business, a third is, that is a master's class. Mm-hmm. It's a master's class. There's a third on the opposite end of the spectrum. It's like, I don't want to watch somebody wear somebody like a rug for 25 minutes. We don't want to see it. You don't want to do it. Then the third in the middle will go, you know what? Quite frankly, it's impressive to watch anybody do something that good. But yeah, ideally, there's some folks who watch UFC who just want to watch people get knocked out and submitted. Where do you stand on his performance? What from the professional standpoint, what did you see?
Well, I'll give you my take on it from a consumer,
yeah,
and from an athlete.
Yep.
As a consumer, you have 2 jobs. You have to do one of them. If you do both of them, that's great. You have to win, and you have to be exciting. Now, if you win and you're not exciting, we can kind of write that off and say, well, you did get the win. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But you can only do a couple of those. You only get a couple of those. Because Anderson Silva, exciting and was winning. As soon as he had a boring performance, and we said, ah, well, you know, everyone gets one. And then he had another one. We're like, wait a second. Now people start turning on him. GSP had a very similar situation. Demetrius Johnson kind of had the same kind of thing through his entire career.
Yeah, it's a whole career.
But Khamzat's been exciting up to this point. So I think we can give him one. Because mm-hmm. as a competitor, if you're doing something that's working, he's not doing nothing about it. Do I expect Khamzat Chimaev to do more than he needs to do to be exciting, to appease me and potentially put himself in danger, and he loses the title and millions of dollars, and he's got this compound in Chechnya that he's taking care of his whole entire family. He's the breadwinner for like 20 people.
This dude was working at a chicken factory. He tells the story. It's crazy.
And now he's got a compound where he does this video. He said, well, that the big one, that one's mine. My mom is over here. My brother's over here. My brother's family's over here. Like, he's responsible for all of those people. So he's pulled them all out of the mud with him. Do I expect him to go outside of himself and take a risk that he doesn't need to take to appease me? No. Realistically, as fans, that's what we're saying.
Right, right.
That's what we want. As an athlete myself, what he did, I just want you guys to think about something. What he did is so hard to do. To be in a UFC title fight and to essentially 10-8 round your opponent without really hurting him.
The world champion.
the champion of the world. This guy beat Israel Adesanya. This guy beat Robert Whittaker. This guy beat Sean Strickland twice. He beat Brad Tavares. He beat Derek. I mean, the list goes on of the people that Dricus du Plessis beat. How's that went in there and sunned him, picked him up, put him on the ground, and didn't. You know how hard it is to hold a grown man down that knows what he's doing? Another black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. You know how hard that is to hold him down for 25 minutes? That's crazy. To not get hit.
I mean, I think.
That's crazy.
You're talking about, 27 strikes?
Total.
The whole bout. And you just go, okay. Like,
I could try to land only 27 strikes in a fight and I would struggle. It's hard. It's hard to only, in 25 minutes, you could fall down and land two.
It was just amazing to watch. And the crowd, again, it fell in pockets, right? To understand what it was.
Fourth round, they started to turn on him a little bit.
Well, because it was, how's he going to finish this thing? Mm-hmm. And not in that, is he going to be aggressive, but can he finish this? We want to see. Look, we fully get that. Again, a third of the crowd is all bloodthirst.
For sure.
Right? It's full bloodlust. Right?
Just bleed.
Right? And it becomes a thing. And if you saw DDP afterwards, there was plenty. Because he took a beating down there, even in short form. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't violent, but it was certainly purposeful.
Well, there's this argument about significant strikes. What's you guys at home right now, or wherever you have your car, you tell me what kind of punch in the face is significant and which one is insignificant.
From the best in the world. From the best. Bach, how many times would you, if I said, listen, I'm going to pay you a substantial amount of money to let Anthony insignificantly strike you 500 times. What is your response to that, sir?
500 times.
Like, your wife wouldn't recognize you.
They're saying he landed 400 insignificant punches. I want to know who makes the definitions for significant versus not significant.
A professional fighter has never thrown an insignificant punch.
I can't. In 20 years. In DP, in 20 years. I can't think of a time I threw an insignificant punch.
You know, he weighed in at 183.
Yeah, allegedly.
But what did he? Yeah, and then that's a whole other conversation.
It was a whole different conversation,
right? Was that the commissioner had a really tough Friday morning at the weigh-in? Yeah. Like, it was a tough day.
He's having a tough Wednesday because people won't stop talking about
it. He couldn't get it right, and the fighters are telling him, "Hey, look, man. Unless I gain 3 pounds walking from the back of the curtain to the front," because I need for you to explain to people the Thursday night, Friday morning weigh-in process and how often you as a fighter and your team check your weight. You know, mm-hmm. before, you know what you weigh when you go to sleep, you know mm-hmm. what you weigh when you wake up, you know yeah. what you weigh before you get on the elevator.
That your scale is the worst fight of the week. Your fight with the scale is the worst one. So, throughout the week, you check in Tuesday. So I'll just give my numbers as an example so you guys get an idea. So I fight at 205 pounds. We get a 1 pound weight allowance that puts me, I can weigh in at 206 pounds on the dot or below.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday, when I check in, I'm probably 226, 227-ish on Tuesday. So by Friday morning, I have to be 206.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Throughout the week, we're getting our workouts in. I personally, a lot of people do too, but I personally hire a team. So there's a nutritionist team. They were formerly called Perfecting Athletes. They're called something else now. And I still, to this day, I hung out with them in Chicago. We went out to dinner. It was great. Yeah. But their job is only to get me on weight. It's 100% their job. They cook every single meal, every single thing that goes in my body excuse me, for the entire week is from them. I don't put anything else in my body. So the meals are all, they manipulate your sodium intake, they manipulate your carbs and your protein. And then it's this big algorithm and this big mathematical equation that they get me down as low as they can. Thursday, I'll typically weigh, from Tuesday to Thursday, they'll get me from 225 for an even number. They'll usually get me to like 215, 217-ish. I think my last fight, I was a little heavier, so it was probably 218 Thursday night. Now at like 4 or 5 o'clock, we start the weight cut. We get a workout in. I did the last one a little different, but generally you get your workout in. So I would go from 218 to, I don't know, 213 or 214 after my training session. And then from then I have to get to from 214 to 206. Now I historically have used the bath. When I was younger, I used the sauna. Now we get these suites and we get these huge tubs and we fill them. We manipulate the pH in the water and the salt content, and we fill it with as much Epsom salt as we can get to dissolve in the water, almost to where I'm almost floating. And then they get it to the perfect temperature, not too hot where you can't handle it and you're going to overheat, but hot enough that your body temperature is going to rise and you're going to sweat. Now, two things happen. You're sweating out, but also the salt and the difference from the salt content in your body to the salt that's in the water is pulling all the water and salt out of your body. And then we do that until you weigh 206 pounds.
And it's... Bach, again, just don't want to bury the lead. Anthony, you walk around at what? Like, in your fighting days, you're walking around at...
Same as I am now, 240.
240, right? Training, the camp leading up to, before you get to Fight City, and to get to 225.
Yeah, I've already gone from 240 to 225.
And then, he said Tuesday, Bach...
Tuesday,
he's at 225, and Friday morning, he's at 205. So there are listeners right now with pad and pen, and they want to know there are people who are going to their high school reunions. There are people who are planning weddings and need to get into it. Right. There are people that are going, Anthony Smith, you are given a master's class. Please help us, sir.
Well, you got to remember, there's a difference between losing weight and cutting weight,
right?
Because I've gone from 240 to 225 on Tuesday, 225 to 205 by Friday morning. By Saturday night, I'm 235.
That part. So again, so the dietary consumption still exists because you've still got to put fuel in the tank
for sure,
right? So Tuesday through Friday morning, there's a diet that is very specific. And then make weight at 205, 9:30 on a Friday morning. Mm-hmm. Let the people know, and then what?
Then we go hard. Then we go hard because we have to. Well, I've already dehydrated myself about 20 pounds. So I need to replace that water. And that's the worst part of the process. Because by the time you're on weight, you're not even hungry. You don't even want to eat. You're just dying of thirst. But you have to add so much salt and electrolytes, and you're not really drinking water. You're drinking stuff you could chew on.
Yeah.
It's awful. So, and then your stomach starts to flip and you start feeling sick. So I spend most of that morning in bed just feeling awful.
Recovering
because it's tough. It's a tough process.
Like, Bach,
I've thought about my life deeply.
Make some decisions. You're having conversations with yourself.
I'm having conversations with I'm telling you, I was getting ready to fight John Jones. I remember thinking during the weight cut, man, I don't even know if I want to do this anymore.
Which you're going to fight the best fighter to walk the planet ever.
The weight cut will break you. The weight cut will break you. When you get to there's a moment that happens during the weight cut where you, in your head, you're doing this sweating thing. And sometimes you have to switch your tactics because maybe the water's not working anymore. So you put the sauna suit on, you're on a bike and you start to sweat. You get in the sauna, you're out of the sauna, you're moving around. Just trying to keep it coming off. And then a moment hits you and you go, I got to be on. I can feel it. I know I'm 206. I'm on. And then you step on the scale and it says 208 and a half. Usually when that happens, the team will leave.
Because some things get moved.
Well, I need a minute. I'm going to need a minute. Like my wife and kids are like, whoo, kids, step outside.
Hello.
You need to give your dad 10 minutes.
There's some word combinations.
He's about to flip out. And you start questioning science. You start questioning the scale. You're like, I don't know who made this scale, but this is wrong.
the combat it's to crazy. Watch and Bach, there's a thing that happens in watching the most elite athletes in the world struggle to make it up those little steps, those mm-hmm. four steps to get to the scale. Their fighters Friday morning, it is a problem.
They're different people. I'm telling you, there's people that you guys have seen on TV and you've thought, man, that I'd be so afraid. That guy's so tough. Look at him. He's a monster. What a savage. That's the best dude in the world. The night before, he was laying on the floor of a sauna, sucking the cool air out of the bottom of the door.
Just
to make it. Just to make it, just to survive.
Fuck.
He's begging for ice cubes from his team one at a time. He gets one or two every hour just so he doesn't jump off a cliff. That man was a coward not that long ago. I'm not talking about anyone else. That's been me. I've been the guy at the bottom of the sauna door, sucking the cool air out of the bottom of the door just so I can stay in it. And then begging for them, give me a minute break. Give me, like, you'll start real tough. At the beginning of the cut, you get in the sauna, you'll be like, man, come on. I'm going to do 30 in, 5 out. So you're 30 in the sauna, 5-minute break. 30. By the end of it, when you're trying to cut that last 2 pounds, you're lucky if you can do 5-1.
Bach, go ahead.
I'll stare at the clock.
Bach, you had a question.
And then people start lying to you, too. You're like, how much longer I got left in here? They say 35 seconds. You count to 35 in your head. They're like, 30 more. You want to break everything.
Heavily fighting everybody.
So you're saying by Saturday night after the weigh-in, when you actually start fighting, what weight would you think you'd be at? Do you have to still be that same weight?
No, like 230.
So what is, I guess, from the outsider, what's the whole song and dance then? What's it for?
Because the idea is that we're trying to keep the fights fair. So we're trying to keep everyone the same size. Now, what's happened over time is the same thing that happens in wrestling. People are gaming the system and they're weight bullies. So ideally, when I weigh 240 pounds, I would fight a heavyweight because the heavyweight limit is 265. I'm well below that limit. I'll just fight at my natural weight. The problem is the guys that fight at 265 pounds and below at heavyweight weigh 300. Derek Lewis is 300 pounds. Brock Lesnar was 315, 320. Cyril Gane is 300 pounds. Francis Gane is 300. I know at least 10 heavyweights that are 300 pounds plus. Now, the guy, I'm 240 naturally at 205. I'm not anywhere close to the largest light heavyweight. I seen Johnny Walker 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. It's 250. He fights Saturday.
Massive human
being. He fights on Saturday.
That is a massive human being.
Massive. Like I'm nowhere close to the biggest guy. So I would move up and fight guys the same size that I'm fighting now.
Is there any call to create another division?
That's always been a thing.
Right? Like, it just seems to me that the leap between 205,
Look at 170 to 185, and then 185 to 205. That's a huge jump.
And then 205 to 260 to heavyweight and go, that's a lot of human.
Right.
And there's a vastness behind it.
The greatest heavyweight of all time, Stipe Miocic, is my size. That's why it's so amazing that he was so good. Because when he fought Francis Ngannou the first time, he weighed in at like 230.
Ngannou is another specimen.
They say that guy's in his 30s. I don't believe it. There's no way.
Tell me.
It's like these Brazilians. They do the same thing. You see these Brazilians. And I'm not talking bad about Brazilians.
No.
Me and Brazilian people and their entire culture, we get along great. They love me in Brazil. Yeah. But I might joke with them all the time. Like, how old are you?
Really?
You mean to tell me that Big Nog, they're saying now, is just about to turn 40? Come on.
Like, he was fighting when he was 7.
Right, that's what they say. I think Big Nog was 40 when I started fighting. That was 20 years ago. You just look at some of these guys, you're like, there's no way. And a lot of it's not their fault because a lot of them weren't born in hospitals. They're living in favelas and they do very natural.
Programmed into the system, right?
They do natural births on the side of mountains.
And, yeah.
They don't actually know how old they are.
Yeah. From the text, so essentially you're 205 pounds for about 15 minutes.
Yeah. Less.
Like, it really is
a thing. As soon as it says 206, I'm on the scale. It's minutes.
And to explain to folks that Chimaev fighting in the 185-pound weight class, that DDP literally had a grown 220, 230-pound man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 215 for sure.
Yeah.
At a minimum.
Yeah. And his journey through this thing is pretty amazing. Like, here's what's funny to me, that we don't spend enough time telling the stories of the fighters, because there are no two journeys to the UFC that are identical. There just aren't. And these are remarkable stories.
Right. I had this argument all week. We're not telling the Chase Hooper story right. We're not telling it, because everyone is saying, like, oh, look at this nerdy kid. This is Ben Askren's son. He's just grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth. This boy was left for dead. No parents, a lot of addiction, a lot of abuse. He was skipping school and going to the jiu-jitsu gym because it was the only place he was safe. And then now he's, you know, he's got no family of his own, really. He meets this sweet girl.
She was so proud, even with the bad results. She was so proud.
Look at where he's at.
Right.
So, like, he meets this sweet girl, and she's got this amazing family, and they just adopt him. Like, he's one of, like, you know, you're dating her, but you're one of us now. And now he's got this amazing family. Now they're married. They got a baby. Like, why are we not telling that story?
It was a part of meeting in Chicago, meeting with some folks, some of the folks who were doing the corporate work behind it. Mm-hmm. And with new companies looking for new type of content, and they need new thoughts, new different. And I was asked the question, I said, what would you do? And I said, well, here's what I want to do with Anthony. That I want Anthony and these fighters to tell these stories. Mm-hmm. Because literally you could go through the entire roster of the UFC, the entire roster of Bellator. You can go through the local fights and tell the stories of these folks. And it is riveting to know, one, what we're capable of as humans.
Right.
Two, what we're able, how we engage friction, and then how we succeed from it. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's the million-dollar idea, and I'm giving it to you in public, but you telling the stories that in an hour or 2 hours where you simply tell the story, you pick a UFC fighter and you tell the story. The Cormier story is ridiculous.
Right.
Right.
I mean, think our guy Bobby Green that was on the card. Unfortunately, he didn't fight. You want to talk about a story. That guy's life was saved by this.
Just the value behind it. And this is why we were talking to Tommy Arciaga from the Complex Group. I'm like, you don't understand. And he said, to have you talk to some of those fighters, just to remind them, and listen, they're all technically ahead of where you were at this time.
For sure.
Right? And if
I've been all of them. I fought right here in Lincoln at the Pershing, was where I made my professional debut. I fought on the streets in an outdoor event. I've been at a festival for like $4.
Like a sandwich.
I've been right here. I was right here with them.
Oh, man. We're going to go to break. We'll come back. Anthony Lionheart Smith. More here on 1-on-1.
Download our app by searching 93.7 The Ticket in your app store. You're listening to 1-on-1 with DP on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.